We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee. Remember to use the promo code DNVR25. You'll get 25% off your first purchase of that CBD-infused, deliciously rich, and potentially life-altering Strava Craft Coffee. I'm your host, Drew Kreisman. I'm the managing editor of DNVR Rockies. With me, as always, is beat writer Patrick Lyons. And joining us, as has become our weekly custom, is the voice of the Colorado Rockies on AT&T Sportsnet, and of course, the host of the Drew Goodman podcast. And we missed you last week, so we're happy to have you back. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Drew Goodman.
Hey, it's always good to be back. I snuck in a few minutes with Patrick on the field last week at the All-Star game. Right. That was just a week ago, right?
I know, right? I know. We got a dose. We got a taste of Goodman last
week. Yeah, it was probably, listen, your numbers probably soared last week. Get rid of that clown for a week. And you know, I was telling you guys when we were at kibitzing a moment ago, I almost got teary-eyed a little bit as you listening to your kind of wrap-up All-Star game show on your podcast. Listening to both of you and you know how meaningful it was to both of you and you know Patrick, you know I was moved by what it meant to you and having the All-Star game and that you literally couldn't sleep and I thought your comments were profound and heartfelt and. I felt the same way because, as you guys know, I got to share it with my boys, and I've said this a lot, and you guys realize it working in baseball. This ain't happening again, guys, for 30 years, and in 30-plus years, I hope, you know, God willing, I hope to be hanging out with you guys in the ballpark because that's what I love to do, but, you know, I'll be in my late 80s. So to be able to share it with my boys and to see – everyone descend upon this town, and hopefully we're going to see it a number of times in the future with postseason baseball. But to be able to see the All-Star festivities and see our town showcased and how well we stood up and from the city, from the organization standpoint, I was so proud. But anyhow, I took note of that during your conversation on your podcast.
Well, thank you for those kind words. Check is in the mail for sure. It was special, you know. And again, like as you said, it was our city where it took place. You know, it certainly was a spoiling experience because next year, you know, flights to LA can be relatively cheap. Maybe get a rental car, but it's different. It's Dodger Stadium. It's not our Coors Field, and it's not our community, and not all of our friends. And family that we can just text and say, hey, I'm over here and this little crazy thing broke out and that was awesome. And so it was kind of the first time really that we could all share the same experience, probably even including the postseason, you know, because again, we kind of have a job to do and we kind of have to sometimes separate ourselves from the fan and media and the All-Star game. I mean, what media is there? What, you know, hard cracking questions do we have to ask when we're trying to just celebrate the game and enjoy the superstars? And so it allows everyone to just kind of put their guard down and say, hey, how great is baseball? Let's just watch it. Let's just enjoy it. Let's just talk to the players that do it. And it's just incredibly incredibly special.
Yeah, that's well put. I was, like you guys, enamored with seeing all the great players in one place, the great celebration of the sport we adore, and maybe as much or more so proud of our community. This is where we live, and we're so fortunate to live here. Listen, there's no more beautiful place than the Colorado Rockies and our downtown area. I mean, you mentioned next year it'll be in Los Angeles. I love doing LA. I wish I was there right now instead of calling the game from our studio. But LA, it won't be the same. You guys have been there. Chavez Ravine sits on top of a hill, and it affords some great views and so on. But when you leave that ballpark, you're getting in your car in the most expansive parking lot in North America. And you are departing very slowly because you're going to be stuck in traffic on the 110. And it's not just walk out of the ballpark into McGregor Square or onto Blake Street and innumerable bars, restaurants, and places to, chill out with friends or new friends. So it was special, and it was a sense of pride as a member of the community, a member of the baseball community. I felt that.
Yeah, I think that was the thing that stuck out to me the most. I wrote about it a little bit, and I sort of focused on the young fans element of it. And there was a part of me that almost took that piece in another direction that was just like, no, man, this is too defensive. You're being defensive. This is a celebratory moment. Don't start getting up on your be defensive of Rockies fans thing. But you know, we all know that there are certain reputations that come along with Rockies fans and party deck and the transplants that come here and how great a baseball fans are, Rockies fans, that stuff comes out. And then over that weekend where you saw the way they embraced guys like Trey Mancini, and we're like, oh, this is the story. Oh, we're full on board. This is our guy now. Even if we never heard of him before today, that's okay. We embrace it. We're in. Or the way they were chanting for Shohei Ohtani, who, like, what does he have to do with Colorado baseball? Nothing. It's just a great baseball story. They were there for it. The way they embraced Nolan Arenado again on his return, all of these things. So I thought it was like a great weekend for, as you said, like just the Colorado baseball community. And then particularly now that it maybe won't feel like I'm being a little sour about it, to say for Colorado Rockies fans who came out and showed out, they know the game. They know who to cheer. They know the big moments. They know the big stars. They know what's going on. They're plugged into it. And they deserved everything that they got over that week.
Yeah. It was a great celebration of the sport. And honestly, when we learned that Major League Baseball was taking the game from Atlanta and moving it to Denver, you felt for, at least I did, I felt for the Atlanta community. And then I was concerned our turn in the cycle, would it just be, not a full-on celebratory type of situation because of COVID, and it would be limited, and then we would lose our spot, and it would be 30 more years, but it wasn't the full-on all-star festivities that normally take place. And as we learned, it was. And I'm grateful for that.
There were so many like great stories, and every day we came on and just shared all these favorite moments. And I feel like we missed a whole bunch of great stories. And I feel like we didn't really categorize them and say, what are the greatest takeaways? You know, obviously having the entire stadium, back Shohei Ohtani, and just the cheers that were going, similar to the Connor Joe cheers that we get at Coors Field now. So that was nice for Ohtani to get the Connor Joe treatment. It was nice to see that. And there are also all these other stories, all these just reunions of, that I think almost got overlooked from the Futures game and the celebrity softball. I spoke with Garvin Alston, a guy who threw six innings for the 1996 Rockies. And he got to come back, a guy who had a very short career, one win, but it came back as a coach for the Futures game. And I know I saw you down on the field, and you got to link back up with Jamie Carroll and just all of these guys that, okay, yeah, we're talking about otherworldly talents in Major League Baseball right now at the prime of their careers. But there was also this other element of welcoming these guys back. And Clint Barmas, a guy that I think you also ran into, who's your guest this week on the Drew Goodman podcast, all of those guys coming back to help, you know, really, again, highlight the just the specialness that has been here in Denver, you know, with the Rockies and the history that they've had, because it's gone overlooked, I think, a lot. And it was really nice for that spotlight to get highlighted for Rockies fans.
Yeah. It's always good seeing the guys that that come back at the golf tournament this past week, kind of reunited with some guys I hadn't seen in a while. So Roger Bailey, who I always kid, is like on a professional golf circuit. Garrett Atkins, who I see periodically. Garrett, you know, he carries – I think he's like a plus one. I mean, he was literally, you know, it's funny. So at the golf tournament, longest drive, Garrett Atkins, you know, closest to the pin, Garrett Atkins. And I forget, his team probably won too. I have no idea, but yeah, he's quite the player, but also Clint Barmas. And I love hooking up with Barmy, who I kidded him during the podcast. I said, the only person I know who's nicer than you is your wife, Summer. And that's true, because she is an absolute doll, sweetheart. It's always been, you know, the warmest person you'll ever encounter. And Clint was that way. He's kind of got those Midwestern roots from Indiana. And it was great to reminisce with him. And he had a really – ultimately, he had a really strong career. And he's for me, he's still an all-time Rocky. I mean, is he up there with the Heltons and the Walkers and the Cargos? Of course he's not. But – he was a very prominent Rocky, and I think people will enjoy that conversation.
Yeah, you did a good job, like, tapping into all those elements, especially you even got something that you weren't aware of that happened in the early part of his career, and even ask him about Tulo, who was only, you know, a couple years behind him and was playing Barmas's position at shortstop, and what was that competition like? And it was a really enlightening conversation. Even talking about the end of his career, you know, that's a time where guys maybe don't like to reflect back on it. And how does it happen? And there was so much, you know, great stuff from that conversation.
Yeah, appreciate it.
So go make sure you're listening to this on some app right now. You can download the Drew Goodman podcast. You got to make sure you do that. And last thing I want to say on All-Star Week, Peyton Manning threw a split finger change. Perfect, right where he wanted it. Right where he wanted it. Right where he wanted it.
Hey, come on. Now, we've seen President Bush throw an absolute dart when the country, you know, maybe the most meaningful first pitch ever, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And if you're a betting person, you're betting on Peyton Manning throwing the ball at the very least airborne for 60 feet, right?
Telling you, he's this is Peyton Manning,
and he spiked it. And you can't go, well, he's probably a little nervous. It's not what he does. BS, not what he does. He's throwing a football six gazillion times. It's a little different throwing motion. It's still the throwing motion. I guarantee you, growing up, he was part of the pretty darn good baseball player, and Peyton spiked it.
To be fair, I do know that the pitch clock was going on behind him, and it was down to two, and I think those instincts just kick in, threw it in the dirt, and said, all right, we got one more shot. What, that was it? That was the one?
And Patrick, it was vintage Peyton, because after he said, hey, I thought, you know, it was an 0-2 count. I thought I had a pitch to waste.
I'm saying, yeah,
there you go.
Same split thing. Did he yell out Omaha ahead of time? It might have been
Omaha. He should have done that. Wouldn't that have been great? Should have got like Omaha, Omaha, and then he go, oh, no, and then go into the windup.
I think him and Ohtani ended up linking up a little bit for something. I don't. That's something I kind of overheard. They, like, Ohtani was like, I throw kind of like this, right? Just kind of doing the football thing. Maybe it was just an acknowledgement of like, you do football stuff, right? You're not a baseball guy, and you know.
Hey, listen. Peyton could take Ohtani and say, would you like to be my tight end? Because Ohtani is every bit of 6'5", and forget, they never change your weight from the time you sign. So they list him at like 210 pounds. He's not. He's like 240.
Yeah.
He's got the widest shoulders.
He can fly. He's a lot like Aroldis Chapman, big dude who we know, you know, with Chapman, it's just a pitcher. Aroldis Chapman is one of the fastest guys in baseball. And the same thing with Ohtani.
Yeah.
Freak athletes.
Yeah. It's amazing what they can do. So, yeah, well, let's toast our brick brews to Peyton Manning's first pitch or not. I don't know. Either way, let's toast our brick brews to a fine All-Star week from everybody involved, except maybe for Peyton Manning. I don't got to put it like that. We love him. We'll always love him. He'll be welcome at any ceremonies around here. Of course, also welcome at any ceremonies around here, Breck Brews. You can get your 15-can samplers down at the liquor store at King Supers. You can also get Breck Seltzies, also in 15-can samplers, because 12 cans are weak sauce. You got to get that, as we call it here, the Tap Pack. 15 for Rhyme Altapia, 15-pack, the Tap Pack of Breck Brews down at your local store. And you get a bigger one down at the DNVR bar if you're a member of the family. Subscribe today to DNVR.com. You'll get access to all that written content, plus you get discounts on hats and shirts. You get access to the Discord channel where we're talking baseball 24/7. Also, all the other sports. A lot of Olympics talk going on right now. That's been a lot of fun. Of course, always catching up on TVs and movies, whatever's going on out there in the world. Just a big, fat, big Fappy Hamley. I'm sticking with it.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. We get it. The Breck Brew truck is stopped by your house earlier today. It's all good.
Right. I got this Mountain Beach right here. So become a member of the Happy Family at the DNVR.com. Subscribe for the annual today. We'll ship out a free shirt for you. And of course, last one here at this beginning one. Don't forget to check out our friends at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Doing all kinds of fantastic stuff. If you're sad that hockey and basketball season are over and football season is not yet started up, we know you're doing a lot of baseball stuff, but sometimes I can get a little bit. I mean, especially if you're on a losing streak, baseball can beat you down just like anybody on that app. So get over to the Olympics right now. Lots of cool stuff about to go down in Tokyo. They were playing video game music from my childhood at the opening ceremonies, and I cried, and I'm not even joking. That's a true story about what happened to me this morning. But anyway, go to your DraftKings Sportsbook app, download it. What's the promo now? Turn $1 into $100 in free credits if America wins a medal. I've got the over on that. I've got the over on a medal for America. That's code DNVR. I'm going to turn $1 into $100 in free credits for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
All right, Goody, who you got in men's archery today? Second round. I know you're big up on that. In the big matchup that everyone's talking about, who you got?
I have the one that produces more bullseyes than the other one. Here's my thing on the Olympics.
You do know that bullseyes are involved, so that's already impressive. You actually know more than me.
Yeah. Here's my thing with the Olympics. I love the Olympics. Always been a big fan of the Olympics. Some sports more than others. I'm not big on the judge sports, typically. I'm not big on the, you know, rhythmic gymnastics, with all due respect to how hard they work and so on. I love the swimming competition because it's like, hey, I touched the wall before you did. I won.
That one makes
track,
sense.
Right. I love track and field. I ran faster than you did. Nope. Put the medal around my neck. I put the shot further than you did. Put the medal around my neck. So I'm all in on those. We all feel super patriotic. I love the backstories that NBC will do on so many athletes and learning, you know, backgrounds and what an individual overcame. All of those things give you a rooting interest. And so I'm all in on the Olympics, but I'm also trying to think, and we did this on the air with Spilly recently, because Spilly now wants to perform skeleton, and we're going to train him, me and Huey. What sport, because they keep coming up with sports to add to the Winter Olympics and the Summer Olympics. At some point in time, the three of us will be candidates to be Olympic athletes.
Right.
And so I'm just waiting for that. I've thought in the past that maybe curling, anything that you can, you know,
get in the
room and hold a beer at the same
shuffleboard time. Little shuffleboard.
Yeah.
A little what's the version of it at bars? I'm blanking now because I haven't played it forever. But with the little discs.
Shuffleboard?
The table shuffleboard.
Yeah, tabletop. Yeah. What is that called? Mom's here in the comments, right? Mom, we used to play at the sports page in Grand Junction when I was a kid.
Yeah, and it's got the sawdust on it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. If you know what knock hockey is, I can hold my own in some knock hockey.
I played knock hockey growing up.
Again, yeah. I don't know if that's an East Coast thing, but knock hockey is fantastic. I was one strike away from bowling a 300. So I was.
Were you really?
Really? Yes, I was a pretty good bowler in my day, and didn't have all the best equipment and stuff. And
so you had to spin it. Nobody can bowl a 300 just rolling it down.
A couple of years ago, I bowled with some high school students. We were trying to get a team and a club, and I used a lane ball and bowled like a 250. So I was almost more impressed with that than my ball that's got my name on it. And it's got, for the fingertips for me so I could really get it to pop. Lane ball.
You bowled 12 consecutive strikes.
I did 10. I had a strike, a spare, and then I struck out for the rest of the game and 10 for the rest of the game.
Oh, I thought it was like the 13th ball. 280. Did the nerves get to you? Or so what was that, a 280 something?
280 on the nose, yeah.
280.
It was a 280. And then my best series, I think I got set. I bowled a 700 series, and that was like at the conference finals where all these teams from all over the state came around. The lanes were pretty hot. There was a lot of action with the pins.
We got to set something up, Drew, with Lions and Mookie Betts.
Yeah. I mean, we're the two sport athletes. You know what I mean? Baseball, yeah. And then if that's not cool enough, also bowling.
Yeah, I think from your standpoint, if we are going to go the two sport route, that you should put heavy pressure on Mookie to play the bowling game first.
Yeah.
That match first before you guys take BP, because I like Mookie in the BP. I'm not so sure I like Tiffy in the bowling, too. He has multiple 300 games.
Does he? Yeah.
He does.
That's, I did not know that about you, Patrick. I'm learning, and I learned something new about my partner today. How fantastic.
4-year varsity player on, so not to brag. In bowling, Not
all right.
I ran, the best I got is I could run a 100-yard dash in 11 flat in high school. 11,
so you had good wheels, Drew.
I was a 4.5 40.
Damn.
In high school at 6'2", 6'3", with good hands. But I folded like a wet paper towel if you hit me, so my football career ended very quickly. But for a minute there,
that's good. Run.
Yeah, I could move a little bit.
How much did you weigh?
160. Yeah, 160. Soaking wet.
I could catch.
I had great hands.
Where'd you go? Fairview?
No, I was a Western Slope guy. I was Central High School.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So good for you. That's, hey, I'm telling you what, 11 flats flying. 4.5 flying.
Almost qualified for state in the high hurdles. I was a hurdler because I was tall and I could sprint.
So. I couldn't high jump the damn hurdles. the hurdles were taller than me.
The sprints are huge.
Not even the Fosbury flop. You couldn't even get one of those over.
I tried the Fosbury flop. I landed on the bar. That hurt like a And it's like I'm done with
throwing. You're out.
Yeah.
What about wrestling? I could have seen you, Goody, maybe being a wrestler.
A lot of people. I played hoop too, but I was. Football, baseball. I played 11 years of football and baseball forever and played both in the – I was recruited to play actually a bunch of places in football, even though I'm not big, because I couldn't run like Patrick. I was like a 4.7 guy, 4.5 flying. But my roommate, my best friend to this day, was a two-time All-American wrestler in college. And I used to work out with those guys, but – I was always, lifting, getting ready for baseball and football in the winter. So I would roll around with those guys and learned a lot of wrestling stuff. But I never was on the wrestling team because I was busy doing other things. But my roommate, it was good. They let me in college work out with those guys and help stay in shape and stuff. So I have mucho respect for wrestlers, man. Tough dudes, and especially back. I'm older than you guys, but before they cleaned it up where you couldn't lose a ridiculous amount of weight, which was unhealthy.
Oh, yeah.
Like my buddy's walking around weight. I know nobody cares about this. My buddy's walking around weight was 220, and he would wrestle 77. That's cutting a lot of weight.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
That's very dangerous. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad they've got those restrictions now.
Yeah. One of our roommates, who we weren't particularly close with, but you know, you had to fill up bedrooms in a house. He took David's orange juice one day, and we open up the kitchen. David opens up the kitchen. You know where I'm going with this. Opens up to get his orange juice. He's cutting weight, and so he's not in a good frame. And he's like, "Who the bleep drank my orange juice?" And this other guy goes, "I did because I thought somebody drank mine." I mean, it was all I could do, me and a buddy of mine, to keep David from like terminating this guy's future there in the kitchen. So yeah, you don't want to mess with wrestlers, and you don't want to mess with wrestlers when they're cutting weight. That's the moral of that story.
No, all of this is building towards a brief conversation about USA baseball, because yeah, baseball in the Olympics, it would look like it was going away a little bit. I think softball might be coming back. It's exciting in the flag bearer. And I know you guys had some of that on the AT&T Sportsnet the other night, highlighting Eddie Alvarez, a guy who won a bronze medal, I believe, in 2014 in the Sochi Olympics for speed skating.
Yeah, he won two of them. I forget which event, Patrick, but also in one of the relays. So he's a two-time medalist in Sochi in the Winter Games as a speed skater, and he's carrying the flag in. He and Sue Bird, co-flag bearers for the United States in the Tokyo Olympics. What an unbelievable moment. And Eddie Alvarez had, I think, 37 at-bats last year with the Marlins. What kind of athlete is this cat? And so it got us thinking, and we talked about this on the AT&T broadcast, and Patrick, you're going to really appreciate this because you and I are fellow, you know, New York metropolitan guys, not to dismiss.
Here we go.
Tri-State.
Here we go.
Right? Christmas from the western slope of Colorado, which we adore. I'm a huge fan of Grand Junction. Love the western slope. But we're going to see if Kreisman remembers this name. I was wondering, was there anybody who was an Olympian and a baseball player, a winter Olympian and a baseball player, speed skater in particular? I'm like, this could never have happened. It almost did. Lee Mazzilli, who when I was younger, Lee Mazzilli was a good player with the Mets primarily, New York guy, heartthrob for all the young ladies. Nobody ever wore his uniform tighter than Lee Mazzilli. He was an 8-time junior national champion in speed skating, never made an Olympic team, but he was an 8-time junior national champion. I'm thinking to myself, and I'll let you jump in here, Patrick, he's a New York kid. Where the hell was he speed skating? He was from one of the five boroughs.
That's amazing. Yeah, I did not know that background story about Lee Mazzilli, who was, of course, on the 86 Mets. That's how I knew of him. And as you said, with Eddie Alvarez, I think only 135 different athletes played in both the summer and winter Olympics. And it would have been almost equally as shocking that, you know, a kid from, you know, the five boroughs is in speed skating as someone who is, you know, a downhill sledder in the skeleton, because you don't do that. That's, you don't have organized sledding anywhere in the United States. It's not a real sport in that capacity.
If I may now, I'm going to turn to our distinguished colleague, Drew Kreisman from the Western Slope. Have you ever heard of Lee Mazzilli?
No. I got nothing. He goes, see if you remember this name. I go, can you remember a thing you've never known?
I want you, this is your homework, Drew. Far be it from me on your show to give out a homework assignment, but I'm going to as a guest. You need to look up on Baseball References. I know you have a fancy computer right in front of you.
Right.
Look up Lee Mazzilli. Good career. He was an all-star, in fact. And here I got a funny story. At least I think it was funny. On Lee Mazzilli. So back in the day, tell me, Patrick, if you ever did this. We used to, the Mets were terrible for a period growing up. It was before, you know, Gooden came along and they went and got Gary Carter and Keith Hernandez, and they became the 86 Mets and the bad boy 86 Mets, and had some great teams, obviously, in the mid to late 80s. They were awful, and there was no one at games, and we would go, and probably I was 17.
we'd sneak into Shea Stadium, and then we would hide and not leave Shea Stadium. And then it's just people cleaning up, and we would be on the field running around. We'd play Frisbee out there. And so then we go in the Mets dugout. This is like the game's been over for 45 minutes. There's no one in there except the folks, you know, who are picking up the empty hot dog wrappers.
Yeah.
And there's this card on the dugout, you know, on the bench. And we open it up. We have no business doing that. We have no business in there, period. We open it up, and it was some young lady who had written a card, a suggestive card to Lee Mazzilli. And he probably got a ton of these, and it was kind of just left there in the dugout. And so we had this card. That was, but Lee Mazzilli was back when guys would, you know, he played baseball like he was going to the disco, and he had the you know, three doors down on his jersey, the gold chain going. I mean, he was doubling up, man.
He essentially was, and I was going to say Danny Zuko, but that's not right. That's Grease. John Travolta's character from Saturday Night Fever.
That was him. Yeah,
Tony Manero. That's it. Tony Manero, Lee Mazzilli.
Yeah.
That's it. And you get the card from the baseball Annie, which probably only had seven digits on it anyway. Right? There's no area code then, just to really put people back there, right?
You could grease pants for 6 months with, you know, the stuff he had slicking back his hair.
Love it.
He was a stylish dude for sure.
Because I have looked it up. Let's get a couple of facts on the table for everybody. Lee Mazzilli played from 1976 to 1989. That's a 14-year career with 1,475 games played.
1,000 hits. You got over the 1,000 hit career mark like Clint Barnes.
Career 259 hitter, 359 on base, 385 slugging. So not huge, but interestingly enough, because of him playing in a bunch of pitcher's parks and at the era, 110 career OPS plus, according to the fancy metrics. So an above average hitter. And
he could run a little bit too, Drew.
Yeah.
I don't know if he could run 11 flat 100, but
probably looked a little bit better doing it. 93 homers, 197 stolen bases. So
yeah. Told you, good player.
Yeah. Lee Mazzilli, one-time All-Star, but still, yeah. 10 years with the Mets, 4 with Pittsburgh, and then a couple of years, Texas, Yankees, and Blue Jays there at the end of his career.
In a strange way, it
Will
does.
Will think he managed the Orioles?
Yeah, he got into coaching and managing for a bit. Yeah.
I think his son got drafted. I think his son got drafted, I remember, like 5 years ago or something, right?
You know what? You're right.
Lee Mazzilli Jr. Actually, it might have been Lee Mazzilli Jr.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Maybe.
But Kreisman will look that up to see if he got to the big leagues. But Drew, I'm telling you, and Patrick will confirm this. If Lee Mazzilli's walking down Fifth Avenue tomorrow, Lee Mazzilli's getting stopped regularly.
Yeah. I love it.
It gives me some hope in a sense, or it makes me laugh to think about a time, you know, 15 years from now. If you say, all right, when was Mazzilli's Mets career? Flash forward 30, 40 years. Not everyone's necessarily going to remember him because he wasn't even really in the Hall of very good. He was in the Hall of pretty good at the time. Right. And so, like, there are going to be those Rockies players in 20 years from now
that
we know really well. And we'll say, oh, my God, you don't know Clint Barnes? You got to go back and listen to the Drew Goodman podcast, circa July 2021. Right. And you go, yeah, he had a 10-year career. He had 1,000 hits, you know, went to the playoffs in 2007, 2009. Was a part of the resurgence in Pittsburgh when they went to the postseason. Like, that'll be the name, and we'll all light up. And then some 20-year-old punk will go, Clint Hurdle, I know. And you're like, get out of here. Let us talk about the greats like Clint Barmas and Lee Mazzilli.
Yeah. I love it. The Hall of Pretty Good. Not the Hall of Very Good. Certainly not the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Pretty Good. That ain't a bad hall to be in.
No.
The three of us would nerd out so bad going to a Hall of Pretty Good at the time. Yeah. Going like, yeah, I remember that guy.
I want to be the curator of that museum.
Seriously.
The three of us, we can alternate giving tours.
Yeah. Seriously. Hey, I've got a whole one-year wing.
Yeah, you want to glance to your left, and on your left, Clint Barmas, who was often called Clint Barms the first, you know, 6 years of his pretty good career. And there's Juan Pierre, sneaky pretty good. He's in the penthouse of the Hall of Pretty Good.
Yeah,
he'll be. He's a good candidate to kind of pretty much be forgotten about. But we know we're in the know. Almost. Here's a name from the '90s because that's my wheelhouse, right? And I think about those guys. Yeah, all those guys I would geek out over. You go, is that Brady Anderson over there? Oh. What do you mean? Look at his sideburns. And you go, Brady Anderson's in the Hall of Pretty Good.
You mean the guy who went from like 6 homers to 50 overnight? That I'm guy?
I'm talking about that part. 1996.
He may be in some other halls also.
Some labs.
My fiance has been watching every 90s show that's on Netflix. She just watches stuff when she gets ready in the morning. She just puts on a show or whatever. She's been watching Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and Brady Anderson is in an episode of Sabrina.
Get out.
Teenage Witch.
Sideburns.
And she had the crowd is going wild, and the girls are screaming in the studio audience. And I'm going, what? And I'm having a whole moment. And she's going, who the hell is Brady Anderson? And I'm going,
that's why. Listen, Huey, next time you at the ballpark, grab Huey and ask him about his time with Baltimore. Of course, you know, he played next to Cal when Cal broke the record of Gehrig. But, you know, Rafael Palmeiro, Brady Anderson, you know, Jim Palmer was there every day doing the games. There were a lot of interesting Harold Baines. There was a lot of interesting, you know, great players, Hall of Pretty Good players, and Hall of Interesting Characters in baseball from the Baltimore years that Huey was involved with the Orioles. So you got to pick his brain sometime.
I would enjoy writing some kind of spec script for a TV series where you're right. Bobby Bonilla, he's on Bobby that Go. Team in 95. Throw him in there. Matt Noakes, Andy Van Slyke. These are great, great characters. Jeffrey Hammonds, who ended up coming.
He had a good year with the Rockettes.
Yeah. So, I mean, like these, yeah, that's the sweet stuff right there. That's the wheelhouse. Messina, yeah. Kevin Brown, Jamie Moyer, Scott Erickson, and Ben McDonald. How about that for a rotation?
Scott Erickson. Yeah, Scott Erickson was he's got stories on all those guys. So
I want to hear them all.
Yeah. I know, right?
He loved Bobby Bowe. Jeffrey Hammonds, good teammates. That's talked about those guys.
All right, Goody. Do want to get a few thoughts from you here on the upcoming trade deadline before we let you go. We know it's a weird time, an interesting time to be on a team that's scuffling under 500, where, you know, team might not look exactly the same as it did a week ago. We know it's also been unusual for you. You know, in years past, you'd be right there, kind of heartbeat of the team. As we were talking about, they go on the road. It's a little bit different. But still, you've been there. We've had a little more access lately. What is your feel of guys like Trevor Story, CJ Cron, Michael Givens, everybody in the bullpen, any of these guys who they know their names have been out there? How do they handle these kinds of situations? And how do guys, some guys maybe handle it differently in your mind?
Well, I mean, I can't speak for, you know, none of us can for being a player and knowing what's going through their mind. Do I think, I'll start with Trevor Story, naturally. Do I think that it has affected him some in some way? I do. I don't think he would, you know, want to admit that, but I think that he's only human. And the speculation all year and the fact that it's not a robust lineup around him probably has affected things also. But he has to have been affected by the ongoing speculation and the uncertainty. And some people from afar might say, well, listen, he makes 18, I think, what does he make, 18 million this year or something like that, 18 and a half. What's the big deal? He's already super wealthy. He's going to be super wealthy wherever he plays. It doesn't matter. You're still potentially being uprooted. And so I think it's played a significant role in the fact that his numbers have been underwhelming. I still think he's an elite player. I still think he's going to put up elite numbers for, you know, several years to come. Do I think he'll be a Rocky in a week and change? If you know, put the proverbial gun to my head, I would say I do. But if the Rockies are blown away by an offer, I think Billy Schmidt would, you know, suggest to Dick Monfort, hey, this is a really good deal for us. You know, let's move on it. But I don't know if that will occur. I'm certainly not privy to what people are offering. We live in an age where journalism sometimes get thrown out the door and we just write about rumors or rumors that perhaps we even concoct ourselves and don't have a great deal of merit. In terms of the other guys, very quickly, I said this on my podcast, CJ Krohn, the Rockies, we all know, need to be much, much better offensively. So they're going to have to bring in people, but they're not going to bring in the $30-plus million guy. And, you know, CJ Krohn, in a world where there's a DH, you know, could be a nice and economical fit for the Rockies over the next couple of years. I think John Gray's, the strength of this club is their starting rotation. Their starting rotation is good enough to play in the postseason right now. So if I'm in charge, I want to enhance quickly on the offensive end and the bullpen end what we have, with also knowing that you got to upgrade the farm system. I know it's easy to say that and not easy to implement, but we know that position players will come to Colorado. And I want to keep John Gray. I want to keep Kyle Freeland, who they control. They obviously control Herman, who signed a longer term deal a couple of years ago. You want to keep that nucleus. So and John's a guy that's a real comfort guy. He's not, I'm going to go take the first big check that comes my way. I really believe that. So those two guys I could see staying in the fold. A guy like Michael Givens does not have a long track record with the Rockies. Good dude, really good man. And I could see the Rockies trying to get a prospect for Michael Givens, maybe another arm down there. I don't know. You know, Daniel Bard, great, great story. You know, he's still electric in that he throws in the upper 90s with a slider. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what transpires over the next 10 days.
And yeah, if teams need the pot sweetened a little bit, you might need to part with two guys in a package deal going. And it really all depends on what happens before July 30th and who gets desperate. Obviously, the story to the Yankees rumors are the biggest ones heating up. And you go, well, yeah, the Yankees right now, hey, I look what the Cubs gave up Gleyber Torres. Cleveland ended up giving up some big prospects to get Andrew Miller back in 2016 because they could see that, you know what, the World Series was in their future and they probably overpaid, but I think both teams would have been happy for it. So that's probably a somewhat of a good case scenario is two teams say, look, we got to have these guys from the Rockies. We're going to overpay. And, you know, the organization benefits from that going forward.
Again, you don't know truly what is offered until a deal is consummated.
Right.
And if a deal's not consummated, maybe there'll be rumors out there and we'll find out how substantive they are if nothing happens as to what was offered. But you never officially know unless something goes down. So, yeah, the next week will be interesting to watch.
Yes, it will. We will have our eyes very, very closely tied to that for sure. I've got one more of these reasons. We got to let you go. We're going to let you get out of here before we go, or you got a few more minutes to hang out with us.
I tell you what, if you fire quick, I can hang. I got to scramble and battle the Denver Friday afternoon traffic to get right. That down. So
kind of got a game tonight there, don't
kinda
you?
Kind of got a game, yeah.
Got to get to LA virtually.
Yes.
Let's do this then. I'll do the read in just a minute. Why don't you give us your thoughts on this California road trip and just the Rockies going out there playing some baseball, got after it, you know, tough series with the Dodgers, but got them one. And they were closer in that second game than it would have allowed to appear. Then splits, you go, okay, they still seem to have it at home a little bit. And back to California they go.
And you're facing two great teams in the Dodgers and the Padres. The Dodgers, I'm sure, are not a happy bunch right now after losing three right. or four to the Giants. They lost two in the ninth inning the last 2 days. The Padres, we know how talented they are. And the Angels, you guys probably tell me, I haven't even looked yet at the Angels. I'm focused on the Dodgers. But, you know, at some point, Mike Trout's going to come back. It's a good lineup. Even without Mike Trout, it's a fairly formidable lineup. Fletcher, you know, producing all the hits. We know about Otani. You know, we know about Walsh. So, yeah, the Rockies are challenged on the road because it's hard for them to score. And so this will be, you know, a tough road trip. California's always, even when they've had great offenses, it's always been a challenge for them. Yeah. We'll see. You know, I look forward to it. I look forward to when the Rockies play the Dodgers. I look forward to when the Rockies play the Angels because they're a fun team to see. And I obviously look forward to them playing the Padres because they have a lot of big names and they have maybe the greatest star in the sport in terms of a combination of, you know, personality, young talent, and Fernando Tatis.
Do you get into the spoiler thing at all?
No, I hate that.
I mean,
you know, I'm telling you, I hate that. And maybe at some point I roll out, you know, they did damage to the Dodgers or whatever. Will that potentially roll off my tongue? Yeah, but I'm not into that. It's about what you can accomplish. Not that, oh, yeah, we knocked off so-and-so and hurt their chances of winning a division. Big deal. It's about what it's about you winning ultimately and getting to the postseason. So to be a spoiler, I mean, anytime you suit up, anytime you do anything, even if you're three schmahoolies like us, you want to win, right? You're a competitor. Yeah. And so if it knocks somebody down a pedestal, great. But your motivation when you get together in spring training is not to say, hey, I really hope when August rolls around, we can do some damage to a couple of really good teams.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not into that. I don't think it, and you know what? You guys know, ain't nobody in the Rockies clubhouse goes, man, we can be a spoiler today. No, you want to win. You want to win for yourself, for your teammate, for, you know, that sort of thing.
All right. Well, have fun out in the virtual California world, I guess.
Yeah. I'll put my virtual sunscreen on.
That's right. That's right. Well, we'll be listening in. We'll be watching over the next 10 games here and seeing if the Rockies can figure out a way to get some, you know, we were talking about the last road trip. We would not have predicted series win in San Diego. We did not have that on our bingo cards. And yet,
they were 3-3. They had a good road trip. So hopefully they're able to follow that up with a good road trip over the next 10 days. And next week when we convene, and you guys convene every day, obviously, but when I'm with you, you know, maybe there'll have been a trade already. Who knows? So we'll have an interesting conversation next week, and certainly the one after.
Always is.
All right. Well, we appreciate you. We'll let you go. Make sure everyone out there that you're listening to the Drew Goodman podcast. Of course, we know you're watching all the games, doing all that stuff. So appreciate you, Goody. We'll see you next time.
Hey, appreciate you, boys. And also, Patrick, make sure Kreisman does his due diligence on Mazzilli.
And I'm gonna check for spelling too, because there's a lot of double consonants, double vowels in Mazzilli. Right. He's got to get the spelling right too.
The irony is, had he, you know, followed, like if Mazzilli had played for the Rockies, Kreisman's all time favorite player would have been Lee Mazzilli.
Oh, 100%.
I think there's a lot of truth in that.
Yeah, right?
Because he is a founding member of the Hall of Pretty Good. See you guys.
Starting now. Thank you, Goody.
All right. Oh, that was a whole lot of fun. A whole lot of fun.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Hey, in just a minute here, I'm going to go get some beef, by the way. Speaking of which, I'm going to get some Wagyu beef from our friends at Hassel Cattle Company. Ordered it a couple of weeks ago. Really, really, really do enjoy the Hassel Cattle Company Wagyu beef. I know sometimes it might sound like they're paying me directly to say this stuff. It's more indirectly, actually.
No, I for anyone that's doubting, here's how legit Drew is about how much he loves Hassel Cattle Company. Everyone in the company is actually mad at him because we try to get some bulk orders together every week or two. Right. And Drew's like, I'm out. I order $200 for my free shipping and all my bonus stuff. I just do that on my own.
Right.
People and so he goes into business for himself.
No. I've got $200 of beef coming to me already at any given time. 100% true. I just can't get enough. Ground beef and the ground chuck are my favorites because we do a lot of stuff with that. The bacon's my favorite. Obviously, the bacon's my favorite. But, well, I mean, the steaks are my favorite, though. Well, the award-winning hamburgers are also my favorite. Look, it's really good beef. I love I've literally told Lindsay, like, we can't ever lose them as a sponsor. You guys have to go out there and buy their beef, because I will be very sad. It's so delicious. They treat the cattle well, but not pumping them full of hormones and all that gunk that gets into their bodies and then gets into your body, gets into the environment. It's bad for everybody. And it doesn't even save you money. You can pay less, especially if you're getting in on the good promos at hasslecattlecompany.com. It's HASSELL cattlecompany.com, and use promo code DMVR10 to get 10% off. And as we mentioned, free shipping on orders over $200.
If we had an Olympic podcast about the Olympics, Hassel would be a sponsor, and we probably have some testimonials from some of the Olympic athletes as well. You have to eat clean if you're going to be that kind of an athlete.
That kind of food. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's basically made for that level of performance. Or also for doing what I do, which is not that. All right, Patrick, let's wrap this up on a few final thoughts. We've got a new baseball team, kind of.
We do.
Right?
Kind of. I think we do. It's so weird to think about that all of a sudden there's just a new nickname and a new thing. Like I was all excited to like just reference Jose Ramirez today or talk about, when the Mets made that trade last offseason with the Guardians. And really, it doesn't go into effect until next year. But guess what? I'm going to start calling them Guardians now because, as we've kind of gone over in the past, if you've been a hardcore listener, we've pretty much just said Cleveland, Atlanta, Cleveland, Atlanta, Cleveland, Atlanta. Don't utter those other words. The least we can do. So now we can say the Guardians. That's it.
Guardians.
Although when I played the video for my mother, she was like, are they calling them the Hanks? The Hankses? Like, no, he's just doing the voice. So just watch this video.
Just watch the video.
I think they got it right.
This reminded me so much. There's been a lot this year that's reminded me of my time in politics. And a lot of it's been the angry stuff on the Rocky side. That's been very tribal political stuff. It's been like, whoo, this takes me back. But this was one of those things where I was like, oh, man. Now, first of all, I want to preface this by saying I love the Guardians name. I've fully 100% come around on it. But it did remind me of, like, it took us forever to decide there is a problem. And then it took us a really long time to decide we should probably do something about the problem. And then, in the most political solution of all time, did something that made half the people feel, okay, this is fine. And the other half the people feel like it was the dumbest name in the history of ever. It's like, yep, a solution that just doesn't work for everybody. And I see the people saying they could have gone with spiders, and there's a history there that's great, and I'm with you. I would have thought that was super cool as well. But also, I'm a gigantic nerd. You may have noticed that in the past.
Well, you can't tell the gigantic part because, like, we're both the same height on Zoom, but yeah, you're like 6'2", 6'3",
an enormous nerd.
You are gigantic.
And so for some people, they're like Guardians. Is that like your parental guardian or something? It's like, it's not a cool word.
And Guardians of the Galaxy, of course.
Guardians of the Galaxy or the Guardian, or like being a guardian in comic books is effing cool. And so like, I was just like, yeah, the Guardians. It does sound a little make a team in NFL Madden mode or MLB The Show. Like it'd be in there, but you know, I like it. It's way better. It's not racist, so you're immediately a step in the right direction. but I like it. You brand around it well. Some of it's been okay. Some of it hasn't. I don't know if they've unveiled a mascot or anything like that. No, but there's a lot of opportunities. And, you know, there are teams named after socks. We think Red Sox and White Sox are great names because they've been institutionalized. Like, Guardians is dope. Get with it.
It is. I think it's great. You know, spiders, obviously there's that history that's there. So I would have loved for that. Guardians seems like it essentially came out of nowhere. But the bottom line is the people that were in charge, and I imagine they selected this name to represent the city well. And since I am not someone who lives in that city, nor have I ever lived in that city or that state, I'm going to go ahead and trust that they did what they needed to do. And so while I might have a certain predilection to say, oh man, spiders would be cool, there really are no spiders in sports, right? Other than the University of Richmond spiders. Hey, that would have been a great opportunity. Look, that's what they decided to be fantastic, right? The bridge that's there. has that wonderful iconography. I don't think they'll actually have like a proper guardian mascot. I mean, that was part of the issue in the first place. They do have a mascot. I can't think of what the mascot's name, but it's a very Philly Fanatic type thing. So, and maybe eventually we will see, you know, the imagery of the faces that are on that bridge. Again, trying to get away from the faces, and slowly but surely, you know, it will all come about. So if that's what they chose and that's the imagery that they want, then and it does fit them and it does suit them, then I'm all for it. Cleveland Guardians, right on. Welcome to professional sports.
I remember vividly the day that I learned about the Hartford Yard Goats, because I had an interview with David Earl that morning, and I actually informed him that the team was going to be called the Hartford Yard Goats. And at the time, I just had an image in my head of a goat in a yard, like in Clifton, Colorado. Like, for those of you that know where that is, like, just like, you know what I mean? Just like, this is the dumbest thing. And then you hear about what it actually means. And then you see the branding, and then it becomes a whole thing. And now the Yard Goats are awesome. Right. And like, your first thought was like, a goat in your yard. That's what it is. But massive, massive, massive win. Shout out today to the Burlington Sock Puppets, who retweeted it and just said, what a silly name.
And I like the idea. I like to hear how you say that about the Yard Goats. You say, I got to do a little bit of research. Like, where did this thing come from? Is it just this stupid thing? And you do your homework. And then you also learn that a lot of minor league or professional baseball teams or sports teams pick their name because it has some history, some connection to the ownership, to former players, whatever it is, the city, the location. And you go, oh man, this is really, you know, it's interesting. It's not just what's a cool animal? Done. Like, you really have to do some homework. And it almost makes, I feel like it could help make some new, you know, fans of history and go out and say, like, again, our guy Nathaniel Sunshine, who writes for Rockspile. We did something this off season with the Burlington Sock Puppets. I mean, we kind of did them. They didn't really work with us. But like, what is the entire Appalachian League going to do with their rebranding? Because they couldn't use the name because they were the Burlington Royals. Well, now they are no longer in minor league baseball. And so they had to change all these names, the Pulaski Yankees. So we dug into the history of these towns in Tennessee and North Carolina, and it was really interesting and fascinating to look at all these different options of where ideas and stuff like that comes from. So I love that. Again, Burlington Sock Puppets. I think there's a large, you know, cotton mill there where there's a lot of factories that produce a lot of fabrics and things of that nature. And same is true for Cleveland now, the Guardians. And we can say the Cleveland Guardians.
The Cleveland Guardians. So happy about that. Atlanta, you're on the clock.
The Atlanta. I don't know. I don't know the history of Atlanta well enough to have something to represent them.
I don't know.
Don't know. Can't speculate about any cool bridges.
They'll have to do it themselves.
They got plenty of history, I'll tell you that.
I was going to say, there's a deep, rich history there. You can come up with so many things that are better than what they've got.
Can they be the Hammers? And you go, what? Hammer and Hank Aaron.
That'd be
Atlanta
cool.
Hammer. I mean, that's great. That's so simple.
Atlanta.
It's Hammer. Like, it's almost dumb, and you go, oh damn, that's you almost did it.
Too easy.
Damn it, that's
Atlanta
it.
Atlanta Hammers.
And I'm sure there's isn't Jimmy Carter is from the Atlanta region? And what does he do? He builds houses.
Habitat for
Boom. Humanity. Habitat for Humanity. Dude. Atlanta Hammers. We just did it. Two in one day, folks. You're welcome.
Boom. Also, two presidential references and Lee Mazzelli on the show today. Folks, this is the content. You can't get this anywhere else. I don't know where else you think you're going to get Drew Goodman, All-Star Game, trade deadline talk, plus two presidential references, some Lee Mazzelli. Cleveland, they could have been the Gargoyles, according to our guy Mark. Okay. someday we'll get one of those fantasy styles. They over in Japan is where everyone's a dragon or a gargoyle or something. So we get excited about that stuff. KBO and those things. But this was a lot of fun. Thank you all for hanging out with us for this show today. We really do appreciate it. As we said before, make sure you're subscribed to the dnvr.com so you get all the written content, all the discounts. You get to come hang out with us in the Discord channel, especially during trade deadline season. This is when you want to be in that Discord channel talking with us all the time. as we try to figure out for ourselves, because we know this is the best way to do it, and the Rockies will definitely listen to us, exactly how we would fix the Rockies. That's the best use of all of our time. It really is. It's a lot of fun. I've been looking at 2022 free agents all day, so come hang out with us. It's gonna
that
be-
actually sounds very exciting. Yes.
Yeah.
It sounds like just as good as time as it is to speculate that Trevor Story could play center field for the Yankees. That was
the number of people want to move him off of shortstop. I do not.
That I get. I mean, I did highlight that in the article last week. If you already have a shortstop, can you play third base? Can you play second base? That's fine. It's temporary.
Sure.
But center field? That one was. Well, they're going reverse Ian Desmond. They're going Ian Desmond. They're going to Ian Desmond, Trevor Story.
Oh no. Trevor Story. So we'll find out where Trevor Story is going to end up, all that stuff. But tonight, we're just going to watch some baseball, see if Colorado can figure out a way to take one in LA. It'll be a lot of fun. Hang out with us on social media at Patrick D. Lyons, at Drew Kreisman, at DNVR underscore Rockies. Subscribe, as we said before, so you don't miss any of the written content. Just keep being absolutely amazing baseball fans out there. We'll keep being absolutely Patrick Lyons and Drew Kreisman in here. And until next time, we will see you. The ballpark.